opinion.
Hello and welcome to yet another edition of The Opinion, where we are joined from Vienna by Avigdor Eskin, an Israeli publicist and public figure. Avigdor, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much.
Avigdor, on the discussion agenda today, we have the Islamic State. Now, Islamic State has been in the news lately a lot, and we've all heard about the U.S. recently killing the Islamic State leader in an anti-terrorist raid in Syria. Now, some say such risky special operations may represent Pentagon's, how would you say, new approach, right, in the fight against the militant group. How likely are we to see more of such raids in the future?
Yeah, so today we are witnessing the tragedy of Palmyra. ISIS took control of this ancient Syrian city, which is protected by UNESCO, supposedly, but now it's under real threat of being demolished, as these people used to do to some ancient sites. It's other than chopping people's heads and persecuting local population, which was not on their side from the beginning. So these are today's news. And what did the American troops do to one of their leaders? Just an intervening, executing, could have been probably fine with everybody in the region, unless a fear that this ground military operation of the United States can lead into some crawling involvement on the side of Americans. And people are afraid in the Middle East. You know, people are afraid of American involvement. They remember Iraq. They remember that Iraq was a relatively quiet and peaceful place 20 years ago. They remember Libya, which was not perfect under Muammar Gaddafi. Probably everybody will agree with me that Iraq under Saddam Hussein and Libya under Muammar Gaddafi were not perfect places. The human rights record of these two characters is probably very different than of some government of Nebraska, Nevada, or somebody from Norway, Sweden. But Middle East, it's not Middle West in the United States, right? And by entering the Middle East with major forces, Americans always caused more problem than solved any problem. And the fact today that we have so many different groups fighting against President Assad is a direct result of the original Western policies to support all those who rebelled against the president of Syria. And they wanted to see some, you know, probably people with ties, with lawyers defending them, some fighters who will keep human rights and will learn by heart all the laws of the United Nations, of the behavior. I mean, I don't know what Americans thought, but instead, those who fight today against President Assad, these are real savages that everybody is concerned with their president. They wanted something and got something exactly the opposite.
I see. So what you're saying is in your opinion, the raids, such raids by a completely different state, by the United States in this particular case, their troops entering Syrian space, or the Islamic State's caliphate, so to speak, you think these raids are going to happen more?
We hope that the United States will not get involved there deeper, because as I told you, the experience of American peacekeeping forces of sending bombs instead of humanitarian aid is too long in the Middle East. And the best thing for Americans is to go home. And other than Americans, there are some other forces, including the United Nations, by the way, who could try to promote some peace initiative. But peace initiative will not work with any forces like Al-Qaeda or ISIS, and somebody will need to simply purge them, eliminate them. Other than that, there's no solution.
I see. Opinion. How long ago was that? Remember, right after Libya, when the conflict in Syria started, Russia's stance was incredibly stern. So was China's in the UN Security Council when they vetoed the NATO and U.S. Participation in bombing Syria. Remember when they accused Assad of using Assad's regime of utilizing chemical weapons. But now it seems so much time has passed. It seems that the U.S., they are simply now just sending their troops in there, just obviously quick in and out. But still, they are sending their troops in there, even though the UN Security Council resolution was vetoed. What's your opinion on that?
Well, not just the Security Council resolution, but I want to remind you that the United States Senate and Congress totally opposed American direct involvement in Syria, and this is why we don't see it today. And we still know that the United States legislative bodies oppose any American involvement in Syria. Now, they've learned something, and we just have to go with this line, support them not to get involved, because there's no any positive experience of American intervention in such a case in the world. I can't remember one. You know, today I saw an article of Mark Brooks in the New York Times, and he writes about different sanctions results, and he's hesitating, and then he states that, but in some cases, I mean, we all agree that it was good. In the case of South Africa, that we took down the regime of South Africa, and South Africa became better. And the same he writes about Eastern Europe. You know, and I wonder, how can people judge the situation not seeing how many human lives were consumed by these changes? Everybody knows what's the price for Russia of this dismantling the Soviet Union. Take places like Chechnya, take places like Donbass today, which is all the result of all this change that Brooks writes about it. I mean, one can see some positive effect that the open borders, that free press and free traveling, it's all there. But how many human lives were lost because of this one should also bring it, and we don't see the West bringing it, and especially South Africa. Although everybody agreed in 1990 already, including white South Africans, that there was a need for to change the system, of course. Everybody agreed with that. But then the question was how to change it. And this American pattern of sanctions have encouraged the worst parts of the society. And we see that after the apartheid was dismantled, there were by now already 250,000, 300,000 victims of violence there. So one should be very careful when he comes with certain remedy to a place which is not really familiar with the history and with the tradition. It's very dangerous to make major revolutionary changes. It's very dangerous. You know where you begin, you never know where you end.
Opinion. We are joined from Vienna by Avigdor Eskin, an Israeli publicist and public figure. Avigdor, talking about revolution, ISIL is, I think, becoming incredibly strong now that they've captured the city of Ramadi, very close to Baghdad, and now Palmyra. It seems that ISIL is pretty much unstoppable, or at least the 100 square kilometers, or I think along those lines of territory that they pretty much run right now, seems extremely vast. How do you think these territories, which are part of Syria and Iraq at the same time, how do you think these territories are going to play out between Washington and Damascus and maybe even Baghdad? Do you think these three states should work out some sort of a common strategy against ISIL?
Well, it's not a secret that there are talks between Washington and Damascus. And there was no opposition of Syrian government for American ground operation, by the way. I mean, we understand that it was done with some, at least silent agreement of President Assad. But there is another important player named Russia. Unless Americans will bring Moscow into this negotiation process, and Russia still has a lot of influence both in Iraq and in Syria, the job that Americans are trying to carry on with will be impossible. Russia is especially known for close connections with Damascus, and there are still many people in Baghdad who look towards Moscow as somebody who can assist in peacemaking. So it's essentially important now that the State Department will understand that it's not a time to handle out another portion of cookies. By the way, when Victoria Nuland was in Moscow, and she didn't try to handle out any cookies, but she consumed, you know, some Russian pelmeni. When it's quite a different thing, you know, she enjoyed it eating as well. What I mean, they have to change the tone, change the style of talking to the Russian side, and together on equal ground to control the situation in Syria. And if not, we'll see. Well, hundreds of thousands of people killed there over and over again, because ISIL is not going to be stopped but by force only, and sooner is better. Opinion.
Let's move on to another part of the Middle East and talk about Israel. The U.S. Department of State Department approved the sale of almost $2 billion U.S. dollars in weapons and precision guidance kits to Israel, saying that it will improve existing systems and make it easier for American and Israeli forces to work together. Does that mean that there's a green light for Israel on behalf of the Americans for a military operation against Iran?
No. Americans are sincerely convinced that they're cutting a good deal with Iran and they don't want Israel to do anything. But on the other hand, they want to sell weapons, and Israel is a good client, and they also want to show Israel that maybe the relationship's, not as good as it was because of President Obama, but there are some levels that they're still flourishing. Defense Department in the United States is eager to continue close ties with Israel, unlike the White House maybe today, but the Defense Ministry, the Pentagon, can do something independently, and they need an approval of the president, so they've got everything they needed, and they will carry on. It shows that America is not going to abandon Israel just in a very short while, because Israel is strong, important. And if you look into other places in the Middle East, where do we have such a level of stability as in Israel? When we change prime minister, well, we don't put him in prison, we don't sentence him to death, as some our neighbors do, right? The stability in Israel is something which nobody can argue against. And Americans are quite pragmatic not to lose special ties with Israel just because the president of the United States feels bad about certain aspects of Israeli settlement policies.
I see. Opinion. Well, now let's try to move on to another area of the Middle East, well, actually a little more southern of the Middle East. How about we talk about Egypt? Breaking news from Egypt, a couple of days old, however. President of ex-president of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, he was sentenced to death. What does that tell us about the regimes in the Middle East?
That's exactly what I started to elaborate on. The regimes in the Middle East are not stable at all. It's not only a matter of being democratic or being totalitarian, authoritarian, or whatever. It's not a matter of liking or disliking, but it's a matter of not being stable. If they arrest President Mubarak, put him in jail, and then those who arrest Mubarak are arrested also, and Mubarak goes back home, and those who have done it to him, sentenced to death, all of them, by the way. I mean, this type of behavior is anything but stability. And unfortunately, you cannot trust any regime which is based on such solid ground. When the basis of power can be changed so quickly, so easily, It's a problem for America, it's a problem for Russia, because Russia today is close to the government of Egypt. Cairo and Moscow today are allies, which is good, but now Russia should assist Egypt to build such a power structure that will carry on and will not be changed in a few years again. And you see, the whole Middle East is one big war. In some places it's obvious, in some places less. The only place which is peaceful is Israel today. How can you prove it, by the way, easily? You know, there is a Christian minority in the Middle East, persecuted everywhere. There is only one place where Christians feel at home today. This is Israel. This what they tell us themselves.
That is a very interesting observation, Avigdor. Thank you so much for joining us at The Opinion. That was Avigdor Eskin, Israeli publicist and public figure, talking on his opinion.
Opinion.